Have your Bibles, and I know we do, your word. Open up, if you would, to Psalms 34, verses 1 through 3. Psalm 34, verses 1 through 3. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and then we'll look at John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. Psalm 34, verses 1 through 3. Say amen when you get there. About two people. All right. Psalm 34, verses 1 through 3. New Living Translation. And then John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. We'll begin again at Psalm 34. It says, I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. And then John picks it up in John chapter 4, verse 23. But the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. This is part two of the message I began a couple of weeks ago, when praise and worship becomes your practice. When praise and worship becomes your practice, your habit, what you do. Father God, we thank you and we praise you, God. We acknowledge your peace, your presence, and your lordship. Even now, Lord, we thank you for this another opportunity to gather together in your name. We thank you for everyone that's under the sound of my voice, those that are viewing. Everyone, God, that has an ear, let them listen. Let them be attentive. Let them respond appropriately to your word. Somebody here needs to be delivered. We all need conviction at some point in time. And thank God for another opportunity, if we're not already saved, to become saved on today. We say yes to your will, your word, and your way. For it's in Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving always. Amen. When praise and worship becomes your practice, your habit, when you're not afraid to give God praise and worship in the midst of a crowd of people. Let me see if I can help you out. Yesterday, me and my wife and family were invited to a cookout, relatives. And my cousin, who passed away a year or two ago, her husband, also my cousin, he wanted me to do a memorial service at some point in the cookout. Amen. Plenty of food, man, they had it going on. Fish, he goes all out. He has to spend probably $2,000. I mean, tons of food, Elder. People have platters. He don't care. Take as much. Y'all ain't looking. Take as much food as you can. I'm talking about about 10 grill, 8 grills, all this kind of stuff. Grilling, crystal. I mean, fish. He said, I got 30 pounds of fish. I mean, 30 pounds. That's more than the store got. But he got a fish just cooking, and you go and go back. Everything, ribs, everything. I'm telling you, he spent some money. Then he had a band. Am I right? I had a band. My sister and my wife were there. Yeah. Had a band. They was kicking out oldies. Oh, man, had five bands. They had sax, guitars, drums. The guy was singing, and y'all too spiritual. I used to love oldies. Eleanor Wade, you don't know nothing about oldies. Yeah, right. I ain't picking on you. I just do that because I love you. But it was a good time. Listen with the message when praise and worship is your practice. Then when they took a break, the said, it's your time, cuz, to get up. You got 100 or more people out on the lawn. Yesterday was a good day. How am I, as I ask for wisdom, going to bring these people attention from the oldies and jamming and all, you know, I have my other sisters there and cousins and all over the place. How am I going to bring them into a sobering state of worship and praise when they all doing the do? Y'all looking at me funny. I mean, it was all funny. I was patting my feet. Yeah. I wasn't out of order because we had somebody here was there said, I was at his banquet, at his thing last week, and they was watching me. I seen it, peeping, see if he gonna act a fool. Is this normal? But anyway, I got up. Let me hasten on. I said, Lord, give me, you know when you ask for wisdom, God will give you wisdom. God got me to get their attention. Hello, huh? And some of them had to, oh man, I'm so glad I don't drink no more. They had top shelf liquor. Whatever top shelf, I'm talking about expensive. No cheap stuff. How you know? I know, I'd look, but they would, all you want, just keep coming. That's the way they do their cookouts. Plenty of it. Some of y'all, now I know nobody here, we don't drink and do it, get high. I'm just talking about some of the people. Man, they was having a good day. Nobody out of order, no cussing and fussing, nothing like that. But anyway, I got up. I said, Lord, I got to get through all of that. Attention. The bar behind me, I'm thinking that I'm here. I got up. The band is right there. They got a mic. The bar's here and got about 8-10 people. And one of my cousins was the bartender. He likes to talk stuff. Good guy. You can hear him. That's it. He in his realm. He know the Lord. Some people are more grounded than other people, y'all. Hello. I got up and my sister, I got their attention, big mouth and all. Hello, hey, ho, ho. Then I said, you know, cousin, he spent all this. I mean, he told me to get up and honor his wife, memorialize her. And I know y'all going to do that. Y'all not going to just get caught up in eating all this food and drinking all this liquor. I know somebody going to shut up for a minute. That's how I talk. You know, that was wisdom. You know, and they know I got this loud voice, and they say, get a pastor some time. And I got up. I talked about having a good time, but we still need to understand it's always time to worship and praise God. I said, how many of you, you know the Lord in hands, you know, and that guy. But anyway, I took the time to give God praise, honor, and glory. At least 5 or 6 people came and said, I needed that. Thank you for interrupting or allowing God to use you in the midst of all of this. To sober us up, to remind us that we still, those of us that are saved, we need to do things in a dignified way. I'm talking about when praise and worship becomes your practice. Of course, when I went back to the table, I looked at my wife and my sister, because you never know how you're doing, because it ain't rehearsed. They said, the Lord blessed you, used you. I said, when you ask God for wisdom, he'll give you wisdom. Anybody know that? How many of us know when you ask, God will give you wisdom? You don't have to be on, no, just let God use you, speak through you. Understand when praise and worship is a habit, you don't have a hard time giving God praise. You don't have to pump it up. Like in some churches, you come in and you can tell when it's pumped up. We went to the homegoing service. I was there yesterday for Sister Carolyn, and that church did nothing but praising God, jumping and dancing and all that kind of stuff. Matter of fact, if I preach this message there, they'd be jumping all over the church, because that's all they was talking about was praise. And then I had to give up and give remarks in the praise. I said, y'all ain't did nothing deep. I said, that's what I do. I said, I'm preaching a sermon message on praise and worship. And then I couldn't help myself. Sister Evelyn Little was there. I had to kick it out. They were shouting. That's why I wonder sometimes why at ABC people sit quiet and I take the same message and people jumping all over the place. People get too familiar with you in your home church and they get kind of bored. That's why God's got to put new people. He's got to put fresh blood. Because as you get too familiar, you say, oh, that's just the past. But you go somewhere else, they love it. God says, so you ain't doing nothing wrong in Abyssinia. The people just get stale. Not you. Not the one next to you. But the one that's not next to you. Somewhere else. The Bible talks, I'm in trouble already. Unspeakable joy. You love him even though you have never seen him. 1 Peter 1:8-9. Unspeakable joy. You don't get too far detached, even if you're out with company. You don't get somewhere out of the range of church and all of a sudden you switch hats and now you become Crazy John. Oh, I didn't mean John. I said Crazy Joe, because we got some Johns up in here. I don't mean that Brother John. Forgive me, man. I looked at Crazy John and he thought, I wasn't looking at you. Lillian, stop it. I ain't talking about him. I'm talking about Crazy Joe. Any Joes up in here? Crazy Marie's. Get wild. You got unspeakable joy. I don't get too far away from where my help comes. Am I right about it? Did you know that when you worship and praise God in spirit and in truth, it creates, listen to this, a protective wall around your heart? Y'all didn't hear that. When you worship and praise God in spirit and truth, I'm trying to help somebody. You've been holding back. When you do that, it creates a protective wall around your heart. We were talking about that in Bible study last Wednesday. You gotta guard your heart. So many of us under the sound of my voice don't have your heart guarded, and that's why you keep falling. That's why you keep giving in. That's why you keep giving up. Your heart's not guarded. God says you gotta guard your heart. Oh, I said it creates a protective wall around your heart. The Bible says that you overcome the enemy, listen, by the blood and the word of your testimony. Praise and worship, listen, are words of your testimony. You can't sit back and if God is good and he is and not express that in some kind of way. Talking about it's personal. No, it ought to be personalized and audibleized. Somebody else ought to know that you 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 know besides just you. Revelation chapter 12 verse 11 says, and they have, listen, they have defeated him, the devil, the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. Understand that the grace of God is greater than our failures. Let me drop this. The Holy Spirit told me to drop this in. When I went to the cookout, there's people I've been seeing for years and years and years, and I love them, but they're not saved. I love them. Some of them are, what do you call people that don't believe there's a God? Atheists. One of the guys, I got to tell it, if he's watching, he might get saved today. He came over because he knows, you know, he said, hey, man, he called me by my family name. Hey, he said, I got a Bible. He said, it was a little thing about this, about 8 inches, and it looked like holding the Bible. It says, the good book. He came over to me. I got witnesses in here. I'm sitting. He opened it up, and it was a drink, a little flask with his liquor. And he laughed. See, he wants to make fun of me serving the Lord, because I used to drink with him years ago. They teased me and said, come on, cuz, I got a fifth. You ain't got to act like you saved. Come on, get some of this. Because they can't believe it. And he opened it up. And I said, hey, man, that's what you do. But I prayed. I told my wife this morning, I prayed for him. I ain't going to tell you his name. This morning. He's an atheist. He makes jokes. He got a good job making big money. He got all kind of stuff going on. He came in high, but he don't get filthy, falling, lick all over him. And he thinks serving God is a joke. He thinks Jesus is a hoax. He thinks, I said, God, if you don't change him, I know he's going to bust hell wide open. But I said, Lord, this morning, save him. You can use him. Do you know how much of a testimony he would be to get this man that makes fun of God and Joe? You know he crazy to do that. And I said, Lord, if you would save him, he could draw all kind of people. Am I right about it? Y'all looking at, y'all know you got family and friends that are just crazy like that. The Bible says that they refer to, the they we read, are those of us that have been and will be accepted by God, not because of our accomplishments, but because we're under the protection of the shed blood of Christ, which has given you and I, or made us, has given us forgiveness for our sins, and we're no longer under condemnation. We not only defeat the devil, I'm giving somebody tidbits here. You defeat the devil because not only of the shed blood of Christ, the Lamb of God, but because of the word of your testimony. What you say out of your mouth. Don't you know when you beat down and things ain't going well, the devil wants you to get so discouraged? But when you tell him, in spite of what's going on, that my God is able to supply all my needs. I might not have a dime, but my God is able to supply all my needs. I don't know where the money coming from, but it's money coming. I don't know where money coming from, Crystal, but money coming. I don't know where my help is coming from, but my help is coming. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but hold it, lean on Jesus' name. Somebody better hear God. Stop walking around with your head down all the time, complaining, moaning and complaining and grumpy about what ain't right. Who did this to you? That God says, I allowed that to come your way because you still ain't got right yet. I want you to be able to lift up your hands, oh ye gates, when hell break out. Don't put your head down. Lift your head up. Your help comes from the Lord. I don't want to bore y'all. I'm talking about when praise and worship becomes your practice. You ought not be a fair weather Christian. Only time you praise him is when everything's going right. You know God is good even when nothing's going right in your life and mine. When everything's going wrong in my life, God is still good. If I get diagnosed and I pray I don't with cancer, God is still good. If I got put out of my house, God is still good. Y'all ain't gonna help me. If people never encourage you, God is still good. Praise causes the enemy. I wish somebody would hear God. The last thing you want to do is get quiet. Talking about that ain't you. And every time everybody know you outside of church say you do nothing but talk, they can't get you to shut up. But you get in church and you don't know, ain't got nothing to say. You get out there, all you do is talk, loud. Hear you outside the house. You get in church, beep, beep. Praise causes the devil, the enemy, to flee. Evil cannot stick around if you're praising God. Hello, somebody. James chapter 4, verse 7 says, submit yourself therefore to God. Submit to God first. Resist the devil, and then he'll flee. Y'all missed it. Submit to God first. Then you're able to resist the devil. That means you can't resist the devil if you're not submitted to God first. This ain't your do it your own thing. Submit to God. Well, God gonna tell me to forgive them. Submit to God first. Well, God gonna have me love them and when they've been mean to me. Submit to God first. Well, God gonna have me thanking people even though they stole from me. Submit to God first. Then you're able to resist the devil and he'll flee. Why? Because it's God covering you. The devil hates to hear the man or woman giving praise and worship and honor to God. He hates to hear praise and worship in your house. Can't stand a house. Matter of fact, he might go past your house and leave you alone if he hear a lot of praise and worship going on. He hates praise and worship in the church. In any church. When the psalmist said, when I think about the goodness. Does that mean that you in here are not thinking about the goodness of the Lord? And all up to this point that he's done up to this point for you and you and you and you and you and you. When I think, when I deliberate, when I get it together about what God has done. My soul cries out. I can't help but shout. I thank God. Oh, I thank God for saving me. Is anybody grateful up in here this morning? How about out there? When you think you got a roof over your head, when I think you got money coming in, when I think you're able to see with eyes, when I think about it. The devil loves people with bad attitudes. He loves people with bad attitudes, with faces that are frowned all the time. You ever been around somebody and all they do? And first of all, I ain't scared of them. God, they got a face frown. Hey, who's scared of you? I want to help you. You acting ugly. You ever tell somebody why you acting ugly? What does that mean when they're acting ugly? Constant complainers. I'm talking about when praise and worship becomes your practice. Notice also, I'm just cutting through this. Praise confuses the enemy. See, some of y'all giving them too much to beat you with. You don't have to feel like praising God to praise him. You praise him because he deserves it. He's worthy of it. Some of us wait, and God allows the enemy to tell. The enemy goes to God, look, I bet you if you don't do nothing good, or, you know, if you don't help them, seemingly help them through this situation, I bet they won't praise you. And God is counting on that man or woman to praise me in spite of. And I said, it confuses the enemy. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 22, the NLT says, at the very moment they began to sing and give praise, The Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, the enemies of God's people, to start fighting amongst themselves. God will take ridiculous, what seems to be humanly ridiculous means, and turn stuff around. How many of us know God can turn your situation around? Don't fool me. How many of us know in here, out there, God can take your situation and turn it around? He's turning it around for me, and he's going to turn it around for you. The psalmist says in Psalms 22, verse 5, they cried out to you and were saved. They trusted in you and were never disgraced. How many of us know the best thing to do is let somebody know that you know the Lord? That's the best thing. Why would a person not want other people to know that you know the Lord? I'll tell you why. Your lifestyle. You hide. Not you. Y'all look at it. No, unless the shoe fits. But some folk don't want people on their job. Don't want people, the neighbors, to know that they serve the Lord because they're so much like hypocrites that they don't want to be put to shame. It's nothing about being perfect. It's about being genuine. I'm not perfect. Is there any other people that are not perfect in here? How about out there? Not perfect. But God is still working on you. I'm still a work in progress. Anybody here God's still working on? Praise will confuse the enemy. But here's something else. I might not get through all my points. Don't even get mad with me, Pam. I'll just keep it rolling. The Bible says, if you're going to do this thing right, praise us and worship us, you got to stand and hold your ground. Stand, but here it is, hold your ground. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 and 14 says, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor. All of it, y'all. So why? So you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. These are evil times. Then, after you put on all the armor, after the battle, you will still be standing, holding your ground. Verse 14 of Ephesians 6, y'all read it when you get home, New Living, says, stand your ground. I read the Bible. The Bible said, Kathleen, stand your ground. Putting on, here we go, the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. No such thing, biblically speaking, of everybody has their own truth. Yeah, the world wants you all truths, and that means that people are just trying to get away from God. But Jesus said, I am the truth. Not me and your grandmother and your neighbor. No. Jesus said, he is the truth. The only way you can stand your ground against the devil is with the truth of the Lord. He loves to have people with splintered truths. Your truth, his truth. He'll eat you up, swallow you up, and spit you up. He loves a man or woman talking about my truth. Your truth don't have no power over the devil. You don't have no supernatural nothing over the devil with your own private truth. Jesus said, he is the truth. The devil can't stand the truth of God. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Am I right about it? Oh, are you holding your ground this morning? I'm just asking a question. Some of y'all put your head down. I'm just asking a question. You know, are you able to hold your ground this morning? In order to hold your ground, listen, you need a power that cannot be pimped.
I said, in order to hold your ground, you need a power, elder, that can't be pimped. You need a toughness that is not intimidated to give up because of the pressures of life. I said, in order to hold your ground, you need a conviction that cannot be compromised. In order to hold your ground, you need a boldness that cannot be bought. You need a sense of purpose that cannot be persuaded or intimidated by the world system of doing ungodly things. I need the power of the Holy Ghost. Let's say Holy Spirit, y'all got scared. Need the power of the Holy Spirit so that we are unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. But don't get it twisted. Holding your ground is not just about witnessing, but it's also about resisting. Y'all missed it. People telling, but then they not resisting what they tell. You ever know somebody that tells you all the things to do in the Bible, but they ain't doing none of it or half of it? Y'all looking at me funny. You got people that know how to tell you what you should do when you're going through. And then when they're going through, they don't practice none of what they told you to do. Matter of fact, y'all need to flip the, you need to sit them down and talk to them. How about when you told me, aren't you doing what you told me? In order to witness, guess what? You need the dynamite power of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, Jesus told his disciples that before they could be witnesses, they had to first receive the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit. You need power from God in order to defeat the enemy, the prince of the power of the air. The devil has some power. He has a lot of power. But God has all power. Holy Spirit is a dynamite power. Am I right about it? It's power that works within a believer to blow up and blast out anything that is unlike God. That's the kind of power we need in Nicetown. We need it other places too. We need it over in my media too. But I'm talking about since I'm here. We need Holy Ghost, dunamis power. That's what prompted David to say in Psalm 34:1, I will bless or praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. I'm trying to hurry up here. No matter what the pressure, hello somebody. I don't know what you're going through. You don't know what I'm going through. But we're all going through. I don't know what you're going through out there. You don't know what I'm going through out there. But God's people will go through. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I won't fear any evil. I read somewhere it says, though an host encamp against us, Psalm 27. Even if my mother and father forsake me. Don't matter who or what, when or where, the Lord is faithful. Am I right about it? Somebody gave up on you. Said you wouldn't have made it. Said you wouldn't have gonna be no good. But God, but God, but God, He saved you. He delivered you. He carried you. He protected you. He provided for you. He gave, and He keeps on giving. And all He says, just praise me every now and then. Just a little praise, just a little testimony. Can't you give God praise? Say yeah, say yeah, say yeah, say yeah. Ain't He good? Ain't He good? Oh! Hallelujah. When praise and worship become your practice, give God some praise. I never did get to where we left off last time. The characteristics about David when he worshiped the Lord. Remember, we said he was a broken worshiper. He was a focused worshiper. And he was a passionate worshiper. Y'all just go home and do some homework with that and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. My son said, Reverend Poynton, part three. Y'all want to hear the rest of that? Well, we have to do a part three because I want to get, because there's some fine points in there. I love to scream and holler and praise God, but I also love to teach. If you just shout and jump, and it makes you feel good. It's like temporary. That's what it is. But you have no meat. I like to praise God, but I like to give you some meat. So you know what you're praising God for and about. So we'll pick up what I didn't give you, part three, next week. It's some meat in there. Because some of y'all are going to go out there and gravy. But you don't want a gravy sandwich. Look, if I want turkey sandwich, I want not bread and gravy. Put some meat on it. Y'all ain't going to help me. You want smothered pork chops. You don't want gravy in a plate with some onions. Where the meat? They used to have a commercial of where's the beef or something. What did it say? Where's the beef? Well, you don't eat meat. Well, where's the fish? What else they have? It ain't beef. Whatever. Somebody in here. Out there. God told me to do this praise and worship piece because if you praise God, the enemy will back up off of you. Right now, he can't stand the company of praisers. Praising God is powerful. It's liberating. You even feel better when you praise God. Tell the truth. You ever praise God and say, still got bills to pay? Ever praise God and still working on your relationship in your marriage? Ever praise God and still got a pink slip from the job? Ever praise God and people still talking about you? But that's God's gonna deal with that. God wants to know if you can stand your ground. If you can hold up under pressure. This is help for somebody today. Holding up, standing up, holding your ground. Hold your ground this morning. First call. You won't be able to hold your ground against the enemy if you don't have divine intervention and supernatural help. For those of us that are saved already, the Bible says, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. But if you don't have the Savior on the inside, the Holy Ghost, you can't defeat the enemy. So the first call is for those that don't have a relationship with God the Father as a result of their relationship with God the Son. The Bible says that all of us have sinned. Me, you too. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is there one in here not saved? Out there. I can't see you per se, but God sees you. He can see a black ant on a black rock at midnight. If you're not saved today, tomorrow's not promised. That's what I told him at the cookout. We all gonna die sooner or later. But after death, where you gonna spend eternity? We have to go before judgment. Bema seat for those that are saved, the judgment seat to be condemned for those that refuse to accept Christ. Second call. You're saved, but you don't have a church home. The doors of ABC is open to you. Why don't you come? Is there anybody in here? Out there. You say you're a member of Abyssinian, and that's fine. But it's kind of sort of post-COVID, and you ain't came to say hello in the house. You allow the enemy to lull you into that type of complacency that you'd rather stay home. Don't you know the devil loves that? He's got you right where you want. He wants you. And God is saying, oh, why are you letting him do that? Come on back home. You don't have a church home? First time, come on down. What are you waiting for? You can't find a perfect church. There is no perfect church on this side of heaven. Nowhere. And if you were ever to find a perfect church, don't you join it, because you'd mess it up. All of us are still a work in progress. Is there one? You don't have a church home. Why don't you come? Raise your hand. We'll come and get you. Third call. You already saved. You have a church home. But you're a backslider. You're out of fellowship. And you want to be restored back to the joy of your salvation. Why don't you come? Is there one? Either of these calls. Give God some praise. Give God some praise. Thank you, Lord. Are there any grateful folk in here? We're going to go out grateful, thankful. I dare somebody to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know what to thank him for. Thank him for what he's done in your life. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hit it again. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. One more time. With all your heart. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I just want to thank you. Can we get one more? Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God bless you. I'll see you guys on Wednesday at Bible study. Some of y'all get texts. Let somebody else know what we're talking about, Bible study. When you're down, you don't have to stay down. Bible study will tell you how to fight through drought, spiritual fatigue. That's what we're talking about when you're ready to give up. God bless you and heaven smile upon you. Give somebody a hug.